Hello. Welcome, you made it. First session after lunch. Thanks for coming. This session is the cloud just replaced my job. Great. Now what? So, assuming you're in the right session, you're looking at the board. Okay, so let's kick things off. To start off with, who are we? Who are you talking to? Okay.
Hi, I'm Raquel Sorensen. I'm a service delivery manager for Microsoft. What I do, when customers want premium service or support from Microsoft, they get something called Premier Support. So what customers want there is when things break, because let's face it, things break from time to time. They want to call experts directly and be able to log calls and make sure that order has been restored. Also, customers want support from Microsoft doing proactive work, like, for example, making sure their systems are healthy, that risks are managed, we understand what risks are there, support during migration, design, getting the latest and greatest cool stuff, and above all, you know, making sure that maximizing the investment with Microsoft, with products or services. So that's what I do. I manage the delivery of the services.
And this is the first time Raquel and me have presented together.
Yes.
How about, I'm going to put you on the spot, how about telling us, telling all of us something that you wouldn't normally tell people about yourself?
What? I'm an open book, I'm Latin American. So, by the way, if you are wondering where this accent comes from, if you think that I come from Gore, you are wrong. I come from the beautiful country of Colombia, very famous for coffee, football, James Rodriguez, and nothing else.
I promise I won't put you on the spot too much. So my name's Terry Chapman. I know quite a few people in this room, actually. So thanks for coming again. I'm an architect in services based down in Windy Wellington, which is why our swag, we've got umbrellas because we don't use them down in Wellington. For those
they
people
are called storm-proof umbrellas, and they're Azure. how did you pronounce Azure?
How do you guys pronounce it? Azure.
You know what? My favorite is how the Americans pronounce it. Chris, how do you pronounce Azure? Chris.
With a twang.
Come on.
Azure.
Use your big boys.
Azure.
So they are Azure brand.
Cool. So part of my job as an architect is to help customers realize the value of the investment of their software, of their Microsoft software. A bit of a jack of all trades, like most architects. Any architects in the room will know what I mean. A thing about me that probably most people don't know. I started my professional career as a musician and then transitioned into the natural career evolution of IT. So it's the...
Music, IT.
Yeah, kind of. So what we want to know is who you guys are. And don't forget, we've got prizes up here. We've even got this nice little Bluetooth speaker and some USB keys and some shirts and umbrellas and all sorts of good stuff. So let's see. Let's divide the room. IT pros, just raise your hand. Developers. Ooh. What's that? Well, okay. Sorry, I should clarify. The question was, is a developer not an IT pro? Yes, developer is an IT pro. How many people are developers in this room? A couple more hands.
Cool.
All right, so what about architects? Consultants? Engineers? People who don't like raising their hands in auditoriums?
Service delivery managers?
Service delivery managers.
Oh, okay, a few hands.
Service desk. Business analysts. Okay, we've got quite a good wide base of people. All right, so this talk is for everybody. Devs, IT pros, if you make the delineation, Everyone in here is going to be affected by what's coming over the next 5 years. And if you think about it, you've been affected by what's come over the last 5 years as well. So we'll get into that as we go. So this is a presentation about how your role will change because of cloud. Kind of seems obvious, kind of in the title, right? And I'm really happy. I'm in the true Microsoft tradition. I am super excited to announce the new Azure Career Cloud Migration Kit coming out today. All right, I'm just looking to see who's searching for that on the web. Over here. It might come out. Not today. I'm kidding. What this is not about, this presentation, is cloud happening? This is how the as we talk to customers about how your role will change in the future with cloud, it's very easy to go down the rabbit hole of, well, is actually cloud happening? We've got some proof points on that. And if this is the conversation you want to have, come and have a chat to us later, or any of the Microsoft people, we'll talk your ear off for an hour. Cool, eh? Let's do that again. I didn't even know that existed until I went hunting.
You obviously have been to one of Dr. Nitin's presentations.
Yes, PowerPoint 101.
How unproductive you are.
Uh-huh. So don't just take our word for it. This is a Gartner stat. So 55% of all of your guys' bosses think that by the year 2020, all of their critical systems, all your critical systems and applications are going to be sourced in the cloud.
Yeah. The interesting thing about this, 3% already are there. So they are thinking that for 24 months from now, by 2016, 25% will be in the cloud, just 2 years from now. And by 2020, another 27%. So 55% of your bosses are already thinking about. The idea is already there in their mind. They either are doing something about it, taking proactive steps, they are already thinking about, but they are there. The interesting thing about this, and something I wouldn't mind in a couple of years having a look at these statistics again, in 2 years, by 2016, was the, hey, we're there, and how many people will be already thinking about it? What's going to happen with those 45%?
Yeah, and don't forget, I'm sure it's never happened before, where your CIO's come up to you and said, we're doing X, make it happen. Mm. Has that happened to anybody? No?
Hey, we just purchased this really cool software. We put it in the cloud because you guys were busy in upgrading whatever. You know, now, deploy and manage for me.
So, what's the quote? It's worth a prize.
Yes.
Put your hand up first.
Andrew?
What is it?
Complete the line. Good. Can you do it with an impersonation?
Yeah. To get the prize, you have to do the impersonation.
No.
Oh, okay. That's all right.
Yeah, give him a shirt. Give him a shirt. This is our swag guy.
Bottom one.
What do you want, an umbrella or a shirt? All right. Come and help yourself. All right. So don't forget that there's two sides of this equation, right? So there's us, and then there's also your executives, your business owners, who are saying, well, we actually need to reduce costs. We're paying 80% of our money on just keeping the lights on, and so business is seen as a more of a disabler than an enabler sometimes. And so, so I was just checking my notes to make sure I had everything down there. But the so this we're walking a line here.
Okay, I'm Raquel. My name is Raquel. I'm a system admin. I've been a exchange admin since Microsoft Mail, you know. I was there when we migrated to Exchange Server 4.0 in 1996. If we go to the cloud, what's going to happen with my job as an Exchange administrator?
Good question. Can anyone in here answer that? So let's frame the question. So and a good way to look forward and what might happen in the future is to look back, see what's happened in the past, right? So let's have a look. So we had record, we had tape, then 8-track, which, yep. Anyone remember 8-track? A couple of people. Tapes, CD, Zune, or probably iPod, maybe.
Maybe.
And then we have in the cloud. So, and interesting enough, records have been making a comeback for years. It's they come in cycles. And so I'm betting that most of you now have most of your music in the cloud. When you buy music, you buy it in the cloud. So that's quite a long distance away from only 5 years. Think a little bit back further, 10 years of how you would have consumed product. So imagine how nervous this made the music industry. And you've seen the ramifications of that with copyright infringements and rights protection on stuff and all of that as the music industry has tried to keep up with how fast technology is moving. And what is any conversation about the history of IT
without punch cards?
Punch cards.
Yeah. And Fortran and mainframes. You remember punch cards, don't you, Terry?
No, I'm way too young for that.
Okay, come on, be honest.
Laurie remembers punch cards.
Okay, who's going to hear in the audience, own up and say, raise your hand if you use punch cards. Okay, quite a few. I just wanted to be sympathetic. I didn't use punch cards. The interesting thing about punch cards, hey, there's a prize coming up. They were known as what punch cards? Sorry? Yeah, 80 column. They were also known as IBM punch cards. So IBM.
I think the geeky reply is probably better than that. It's with the USB 3 though.
IBM has been built punch cards for more than 50 years. Punch cards started in the late 19th century when they were used for textile industry. And then in the early 20th century, they were used for big organ pianos. And then in the 60s, when mainframes came on board, they were used for data storage and data processing. For over 50 years, that's how they were used. IBM records that in 1937, even before the computer age, they were producing punch cards, 10 million punch cards a day, 10 million. And producing, it means printing, cutting, punching, and stacking. 10 million before the computer age. What happened with IBM? Did IBM disappear? No, it hasn't disappeared. Oh, it's still here.
Anyone from IBM here, by the way?
Yeah.
No, there's not. Right.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't read the paper today, so maybe something's happened.
No, it's here. So IBM changed, moved on.
So I want to plant a seed in your head as we go. So what if IBM, as an IT company, way, way, way back then, had said, nope, we're making a blind fortune off printing 10 million punch cards a day. That's what we're going to do. That's what we're good at. That's what our customers are asking us. No reason to change. Mm. Where would they be today? Be nice. So this is something which this comes from some Microsoft research, Being Human, Human-Computer Interaction in the year 2020. It's actually it's a little bit dated. It's 2008.
Really good read.
It's go and check this out. It's actually a fascinating read, and it plots a course of where we've come to from mainframes. With having one computer, many, many users, transitioning into the 80s, Bill Gates, PC on every desk in every home. So that and that vision has largely been fulfilled, right? Mm-hmm. So one computer per user. Fast forward to the 2000s and where we are now, it's us with many devices. How many people have got more than two devices on them at the moment? More than three devices? Okay. Interesting. And then going fast forwarding to what's coming next. Now, for those of you who are at James's keynote, and I'm sure you've seen a consistent theme in all the sessions you've gone to in TechEd so far, is thousands of computers per user. So it's the Internet of Things. I know it's a bit of a cliched term, but most of the Internet traffic, and this was referenced in the keynote, is starting to become computer-to-computer traffic. Hey, what are you doing? I'm doing fine. Let's talk. Let's do something for this end user. And so this is where the industry is moving. So it's quite interesting to think about how where the industry is moving is going to affect how you guys are going to be working. So if you think about, for those of us who have been around a little bit longer, where you were in these different points of time and what you were doing at that time, and then snapshot to the next one, you'll see actually I'm doing something quite a bit different now than what I was doing back then. So roles and skills evolve. So that kind of segues into that. So you know, recognise what this is? Sorry, right, yeah. So how if you come up, so if someone come up to this with you and they said, "Where's the server room?" You'd be a little nervous, right? So if we go back 100-odd years, we had the chief electricity officer. So their job was to run this big contraption you see here, which ran the generators within the industry, so might be manufacturing or whatever, and they supplied all their own electricity internally, right? So this was this person's core job to make this all work. Now the grid came online, started selling power as cheaply, and so did this guy go out of business? What do you reckon? So did this guy disappear? What do you reckon he did next? This one's worth a prize. So somewhere over here. Put your hand up. Power over service. Oh, that's good enough for an umbrella.
Yeah.
He began to push paper, right?
Don't throw it.
It's got a sharp point on the end. We've been specifically told by health and safety not to spear with those ones. So their role became to manage. So there are still machines in the power in the plant which needed power. They needed to have consistent plugs, consistent voltage. And so this person's job changed, right? It didn't disappear, but what they were doing vastly changed. So this is kind of fun. So we put this together, and Raquel and me actually had a bit of fun walking through this. And so I know I'm getting you to do lots of exercise today. Sorry about that. I love the audience interaction. So going back through time, who's used or administered Windows 8.1? Oh, awesome. Ooh. That's a good amount of hands.
Oh, love it.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay, Windows 8, leave your hands up. Mm. Windows 7. Mm-hmm. Windows Vista, put your hands down. XP Professional, hands up again. XP. Windows 2000. Oh, some of the hands go. Oh, it's still actually quite. Who's got Windows 2000 in their shop at the moment? Oh yeah, it's a good robust operating system. That. Just, I hope there's no hackers in here because they just looked at the people with their hands up. Windows 98. Oh, these are the good old days. We're starting to get a bit nostalgic now.
Yeah, I know.
Windows NT4.
Woo! Yeah.
95, excellent. Yeah. My first major client rollout was 94. NT3.51, because it just rolls off the tongue, right? Yeah, excellent. It's still running. Windows for Workgroups. Oh, okay, now we've got...
Yeah.
Who are these old fellas in the back? There's lots of hands up there. All right, still back in time. Further we go, back to the 1990s. Windows 3.
Yeah.
Far out.
Guilty.
I was expecting like one or two hands. Yeah, but okay. All right, Windows 2. Right back in time. Just a couple of hands. And lastly, Windows 1.
Windows 1.
Oh, there's one hand.
a few.
Oh, excellent. You, there's only one hand there, so you can get an umbrella
two
for
two hands.
What's that? My excuse is that I didn't have enough space around the 90s to put Windows Millennium. You see, I had lots of space around Vista, so that went up there.
Yeah.
Okay, and for a bit of trivia, for a USB 3, 8 gig, it's quite a good little machine here. You've got to put your hand up, though. Who in Microsoft wrote the blue screen of death message?
Ooh.
Yes. Here you go. Who was it? This guy.
So that was Troy. Go ahead.
Anyone who follows Engadget or Wired or that would have seen that. I thought that was fascinating. That one, awesome. Okay, so just moving on, bit of fun. Where is IT done evolves? So has anyone heard of shadow IT? Where are we going to be working? Where are the jobs being created? I was blown away by the stat.
This was quite fascinating. It's a study that comes from Gartner. 17% will be created in the IT department. Only 17%. All the other jobs, the trend is IT or IT jobs will be created, but only 17% in the IT department. What does that tell you? Think about it. Everything else will be outside, either on cloud service providers or outside the business, within another business unit, outside the IT department.
And we've seen this somewhere before. Yeah. We'll come back to that in a minute. Okay, so I know this is a bit of an eye chart, but let me just, maybe I've got a woo, excellent. Okay, so this is a project lifecycle going down the edge there. And over here we have kind of businessy, and the green stuff is IT. So, and your dotted line in the middle is the 50% threshold. And so what this graph tells you, and you can just look at it by sort of standing back and squinting, is that in the early stages of the project lifecycle, IT is not involved very much at all. And it's not until we get to actually implementing that technology or managing it that IT is heavily involved. What does that tell you?
Why is this happening?
It's going to fail. Are your companies in business today?
Yeah.
Mostly. So what it says is that all the decisions about technology are being made without you guys.
Mm-hmm. But
business managers, 404 business managers. Oh, very funny. That's a geeky joke. So this is Gartner. So it's the one that I was looking at this last night, and I looked at 2% of C-level executives manage their technology. I coun't figure that one out either. I'm sure there's stats in there somewhere. So the I guess the punchline of this is that cloud's coming and you guys probably have very little say over it. Interesting, eh? So this handsome fellow, Heraclitus, the only constant is change.
Heraclitus or Heraclitus?
Didn't you just say the same
Heraclitus.
Thing?
That's okay.
Sounded the same thing. I hassle her about her accent. That's right. She hassles me about my accent. Exchange Edmund, what do you have to say about this?
Okay, so I do the server deployment. I do patching. I download updates. I do regression testing. And then batch and get involved in projects when we have a big migration from Exchange and we're moving, you know, to the latest and greatest Exchange. So what's going to happen to my job?
Mm.
But, yeah.
Well, I'm an architect, so I can talk abstract and theoretical, and give me a whiteboard and I'll keep you here for the rest of the day.
No. I won't give you a black.
So what we're actually going to, we're going to get a little bit real, so you have to excuse us as we get out our crystal ball and see what all this stuff. So we're giving you some proof points, right? So we've seen it happen in the past. So we've seen it coming. We're on the same trajectory as what we've been, and we know that change is happening. So how's that going to affect you? So the first part of our session was more about change is happening. Here's the proof. This part of the session is more about okay. So what do you do with that information? Where have we seen this before? This is what I alluded to before. Okay, so really. Architectural diagram. Love these things. Okay, so, and you guys have all seen this before, right? Plan, build, run. Outsourcing. Plan mostly stays internally, sometimes out, but mostly internal. Certainly the heavy thinking only stays with the organisation itself. Someone else manages the actual building of it and maintenance of it. So this is fully outsourced. Let's talk binary because it's easier to grasp the concept. And also cloud sourcing. So in a way, cloud is a new form of outsourcing. Interesting way to think about it. Who in here has lived through a completely insourced to an almost completely outsourced environment? I'm going to choose... Can you tell us what roles remained? Big loud projected voice. I was drunk through the whole thing. So you would have had a full IT team, PMs, yep, architects. So there's some architects. Did you have any engineers or consultants left? Okay, that's interesting. What about your service desk? So no service desk. Okay. Interesting. What roles? And I'm going to pick on you because I'm going to give you the good prize. So you got to work for it.
Yeah. So USB.
No. This is for the speaker. Sexy. So, Brandon speaking.
Of course.
So, what were the roles that were left? What did they do? What were their new thing, way they did work? Service management stuff. Yep, okay. Mm-hmm. And so what were service management folks doing? Change management. Yep. What about their interactions with the new outsource? SDM, yep. Mm-hmm. So, and that's where this comes up. So I'm guessing that they a lot of these roles turn to managing the outsource provider and thinking more about the business. Cool. Mm-hmm. Have a Bluetooth speaker. Here you go, Ant. Good little device. Ant. There you go. Wakey, wakey. So, IT is shifting. So thanks for that. It's great having the feedback. So IT, in that case, shifted to the outsourcer. Just 1 second. Did those staff move directly to the outsource provider? Oh, okay.
Want to repeat the answer?
I was involved, it's about 10 years ago now, I worked for Siemens Business Services in the UK. They did the bid for BBC Technology. Some of you in the room might remember. So BBC Technology was the IT for the whole of the BBC, 1,400 people. Siemens won the bid. Those 1,400 people up out of BBC... Into Siemens Business Services. And so this kind of supports, remember the Gartner's pie chart with IT roles being created? So that kind of supports that. And that's what we've seen with outsourcing. So what happens with cloud when there's no outsource provider for these people to move to? Okay. So, and is the overall need for IT shrinking? is again a bit of an eye chart. This is some research that we did a couple of years ago, and it's the punchline of this is that cloud is generating 14 million new jobs over the next couple of years.
14 million.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
I really apologize. It's, New Zealand is not there.
Yeah, Colombia's there.
But Colombia's there. Look at that. Woo! Yeah.
If you want work, you're going to go to Colombia in the next 5 years. So you heard it here first at Microsoft. You'll be working in Colombia in 5 years' time.
But something to emphasize about this research that comes from Microsoft Research is that these new 14 million jobs will be created not necessarily within IT. They will be created because businesses will have more money, more budget, because they are optimizing their IT infrastructure. So they will have more money to hire more people. So not directly IT, but cloud computing is going to generate this.
Yeah.
Excellent. We're cool.
So this is, and we are going somewhere with this, and we do get to a point with this. This is leading into the sort of things that you're going to be thinking about, what's next, what's important to you. Okay, so another quite interesting survey done by Cisco and Intel recently last year. The call-outs for this is that most of these, there's over 4,000 IT leaders surveyed, about two-thirds of them saw IT increasing, their headcount increasing. That's interesting. How do you reconcile that? And another interesting takeaway from this is that three-quarters of these same leaders saw that IT transitioning what it did to be a broker or intermediary of cloud services. This is interesting. IT leaders.
IT leaders, but
don't forget, these are the same IT leaders that are told to cut their budget who may be looking at their headcount. So these are the same people that are saying we're expecting IT to grow. Interesting. Food for thought, isn't it? So another Gartner stat. Now the need for deep technical, I'm going to go this way because you're looking the wrong way. The need for deep technical skills is reducing. So that's this first one, this one. And have a look at the ones increasing. See any common patterns?
Relationship management.
Not management roles. I mean, it's the we've. It's quite bad in Microsoft, by the way, but that's another story. Come and talk to us later about that. Information design and management. So this is what we're talking about, the Internet of Things. Data scientists. Interesting. How to turn data into money. Cool. Business process design and management. So getting closer to the business. I think we can see where we're going with this. And relationship management and change management. So all of these are trending up as technical skills are trending down. Is anyone in here getting nervous at the moment? I have a few heads. So how's that changing for you guys? So we're moving from technical aptitude, so the specialist today, through to the versatilist. I got it. I didn't think I'd be able to say that. Versatilist. Sweet.
I said I won't try.
Yeah, no, I wasn't going to try it. But so that's a so thinking more about how IT enables the business. So this is actually quite interesting, right? Great. So now we've got to do more stuff. I've already got a 60-hour job, and now you're telling me I've got to learn what the business does. I've got to be really good at data. I've got to be excellent at change management, and I've got so much stuff to do. Okay, well, not really. Let's talk about it in a pragmatic sort of way. So, when we talk about moving to the cloud, we're talking a timeline, right? So, even if you wanted to, most of you couldn't go out and hit the button and go straight into the cloud today. Too many dependencies within your internal network. And more importantly, your business wouldn't have gone through the journey. So what we found most important about customers that move to the cloud is that it's the journey that gets them there. It's not necessarily the financial decision to move or any technical. It's the going through the thought process, the security, all that sort of stuff, and actually arriving, this is what we're going to do. So we're at the moment where most of our focus is around legacy, so I'm guessing that in most of your environments you have quite a heavy legacy presence, right? Some of you are dabbling with cloud. Who's dabbling with cloud? Who's got at least some services in the cloud today? Oh, that's actually pretty good. Okay, so that's you're moving into the more hybrid world. And then down the track, we're looking at moving 55% of your bosses, remember? Mm-hmm. Think you're going to be in the cloud, completely in the cloud by 2020. That's probably not going to be the case, right? There's always going to be some legacy stuff hanging around, and I don't know if any of you work for a bank or something, but the banks with mainframes, no more punch cards, thankfully. evolved a little bit from there. But there is going to be on-premise stuff which hangs around for a while. So your technical skills for doing punch cards may still be relevant. Maybe not. So what's your current skill set? I nicked this off Jaron. Jaron, are you in here? No, I'm not going to Terry's session and Raquel's session. It's boring. So on the top of here, if you went to this is the same stack that you guys have seen 100 times before. If you've ever been cornered by a Microsoft person, they would have made you look at this. At the top of it, we've put customer experience, because after all, what is IT but to serve the business? If it wasn't for the business, none of us would be employed. Okay, so this is on-premises, right? We go up through our stack, right from networking through to applications and customer service. Infrastructure as a service, platform as a service, data and above, software as a service. Oh my goodness, all that's left is customer experience. So, what happens if you're a virtualization specialist? If all you do today is virtualization, and I'm picking virtualization, there's a thousand other things I could choose. If all you do is virtualization today, and you've made the call, I've invested a fortune in training myself in virtualization, that's all I'm doing, that's all I'm ever going to do. How do you think your career prospects are in 5 years' time as all your services start moving to the cloud? Yep. I mean, what, you've got an example about the COBOL programmers, right?
Yes, in a previous life, I used to work for a large financial institution, and they had a COBOL programmer that used to earn $700 per hour. $700. I remember, I will own up to it. I learned how to develop using COBOL. So I started my career over 20 years ago as a COBOL programmer. I stopped programming in COBOL because one of my mentors at the university told me, oh, forget about COBOL, it's a dead language, it's just coming out, just go and learn Delphi, Visual Basic, you know, we have Windows now, you can program doing Windows and draw screens and blah. And then I stopped. And then when I look at this guy earning $700 an hour, I thought,
if only you'd kept up your COBOL skills. If only you'd known. But if all of you guys were COBOL programmers as well, how much work do you think you'd get?
It's a handful only, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just to repeat that, for Microsoft, there is one engineer for every 2,700 servers. So these are in our data centers. And that number is going to get vastly bigger. And with the automation on Azure, if we can automate it, we have. Well, yes, you can. Yeah, to your point, you can. I pointed out to a customer the other day, automation is also a really good way to screw up really fast on a large scale. So yes, there is that risk.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what what should you guys be looking at in the future for career opportunities? CIO's just pulled out because that was the word art thing. Unless you want to aspire to be a CIO, go, if you go. So you have a look up here. The roles up here are a lot more business-focused. All right? So there are still some technical roles, and remember, we're going to have our legacy technology. It's going to stay there for quite some time yet.
And there is always going to be the need of technical expertise, right? Those technical experts that actually know what's happening. It's the same technology, just on a different environment, rather than on-premise, on the cloud. So there will be the need, you know, for the deep technical expertise.
So in 30 years' time, no, let's say 20 years' time, 30 years' time, 20 years' time, if you're the last person in this room who knows anything at all about exchange, you could be making $800 an hour.
I would say 20 years.
Well, inflation, that's probably, they'll probably buy you a cup of coffee in 20 years. Okay, so, and I guess the point of this is that where IT is moving to is more of a business enabler, so more supporting the business function, as we put up here, making the boat go faster. And so we mentioned with the outsource environment, those people that were left after the outsource, their goal was to hold the service provider to account. It doesn't matter if it's someone sitting down the road or a multinational overseas, making sure that those services deliver value, right? This is the one that I find really interesting. This is the moving from keeping the lights on to doing interesting shit. So if your budget of, if your 80% of your budget, like we talked about before, is currently tied up with keeping the lights on, what if you could get rid of all that pain, move all that pain, so the patching and the hardware repair and you name it, move that up to the cloud. What would that free up your time for? Drinking, someone said. Cloud caused alcoholism. Yeah, maybe. There's going to be an increasing need for some of these roles, which was, so I've got a bit of a security background, so I see in my future as an architect that, actually my security skills are still pretty valid and getting more so because now all my stuff is everywhere, and so how do I secure that? So security is pretty important. Architecture, identity, the service management roles. So when we were talking about outsourcing before, a lot of those roles remained because you're still providing service to your end customers, right? Now this is an interesting one, the need to aggregate multiple services. So the worst thing that could happen in 5-10 years' time is that you have all of these stovepipes of cloud technology which don't talk to one another, and you go back to what it was like in the 1990s where you had all these point solutions which didn't talk to each other and actually crippled business innovation. And so IT is going to need to control standards and how the cloud providers actually provide services to the end user and how that works with all the other stuff. And as we talked, some services are going to remain on-premises. If you currently do, say, identity and Active Directory and ADFS, then your future skills are that awesome. But extending into the cloud. And so you still do that stuff, but now you do Azure Active Directory as well. And then you figure out how that links with Azure, and if you've got Salesforce or Google or whatever, how that identity works to enable your systems.
This is really interesting. It's not enough just to be in the right track. You know, what speed are you moving on? We have already pointed out before that the cloud is happening, it's here. Your bosses are already making the decisions or have made the decision. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to, okay, I'm just doing my job. I'm so focused on delivering projects. I'm just going in the right path. But are you going to allow the cloud and what is coming and the change to just go run over you? Or are you going to do something about it?
So think of this as a cloud skills health check, I guess. And you'll see that a lot of the weighting is more towards business skills. So business value and innovation. I'm not going to read them all out. I know you guys can read very well, otherwise you wouldn't be in here. Change management and adoption is going to be absolutely key over the next 5 to 10 years. So anyone who's worked on a project which is, the project's technically failed, but it actually failed to do anything useful for the business. I got to just divert for a second. Actually, there was no hands. You guys are awesome. Everything you do is awesome. I got a really interesting story. There was a couple of years ago, I was called in to have a chat to a CIO of a local company. And the Link project had failed. And I think it was even OCS at the time, I can't remember. And I thought, oh, what's going on? Because we'd worked with the partner and they'd done a great job and this technology had been implemented really well, really sound architecture, all the yada yada. It did everything it said on the tin. But it failed. So I went ahead and chat to the CIO and he said, well, what actually happened is that all of the managers within the organisation were using the present status as a clock in, clock out for their employees. And so all their employees stopped using it because their boss was saying, are you online? You must be working. You're not online. You mustn't be working. And so they're using it as a clock in, clock out system. And so, of course, everyone turned off presence and then the project fell over. Mm-hmm. Link failed. Great example of poorly managed change control, actually. And so it's the adopt how users get benefit of the systems is utterly key in everybody's responsibility. If it's not doing good for the business, then we should not be doing it. And I've also pointed out legacy technologies. I'll hark on that again for 1 second. They're going to stay around for a while. So You're going to be dealing with legacy technologies in your environment. They're going to become the exception as opposed to what they are today as the norm. And so they'll be going to come in that wart on your architecture, which you need to figure out how to integrate with all the other stuff you've got in the cloud. And that in itself is going to be a big challenge. Adaption. Enough said with it. But will I still have my job? Will you still have your job?
As an exchange administrator?
Oh, is anyone? Will you guys have your jobs?
Someone's
listening here. Yeah, that's worth something. Who is it? So think about of what would you do if you had another 20 hours in your week? Ooh, that's interesting. Learn COBOL, yeah.
Yeah.
Very good. So what would you do if you had another 20 hours a week? Hands up if you're busy. Okay, let's rephrase it. Hands up if you're not busy. No one will admit that one. Hands up those who had IT projects which you couldn't complete last year because you were too busy completing all the other projects. Okay, less hands than I was thinking.
Yeah, me too.
Imagine if you could divert time from keeping the lights on to doing those projects, helping make the boat go faster. Interesting. So I'm going to divert slightly into cloud for just a minute. So Office 365 launched 2011, BPOS before that, and we are releasing features at an amazingly alarming rate. So we've gone from this big 3-year monolithic cycle right down to you might get a new feature today if you're on Office 365. So it's the how do you deal with that as an IT administrator? Choose the things which are useful in your cloud services to make it be impactful to your business. So your new job in IT in the future is to manage all these iterations coming down. It's not just Microsoft. You look at Salesforce, you look at Google, you look at any of the big cloud providers. They've moved to continuous updates, and so it's new feature after new feature after new feature after new feature. And you know what? It's not going to get any slower. So your job is to follow this. I mean, so at the moment, in Office 365, we've got a 90-day roadmap. We've got a 20-day feature notification. And then, bang, you've got a whole bunch of new features. So it's the, how do you even keep on top of that stuff? It used to be that you'd just upgrade and then you'd have 3 years to read the manuals and go to the online course and all the rest of it to do the features for the next one, and then that would land, and then you'd train the users, and then you'd be off again, rinse and repeat. So now that paradigm's completely shifting, and you guys are shifting with it. So you know how Raquel and myself follow this, how fast this is? We don't get any special. Imagine if this was an email thread coming into my inbox would fill up, right? Or my Yammer feed. I follow the Office blog, the same one that you guys look at. So choose the features which are relevant to your business and then implement those. Mm-hmm. The pain is mostly for the administrator, and the pain for the administrator is mostly with change management of the users. You say, there's a button here that wasn't here yesterday, what the... So change management, again, so going back to change management, so your job as IT professionals and developers and whatnot is to lead the business through. So just choose the things. Hey, this rights management button that you've got up here, it's just popped up here yesterday. Did you know that data leak that we had a couple months ago, I know it was really embarrassing and all the rest of it, you sent an email, you told, it was clearly in the subject line in bold text, do not forward this email. And they forwarded it anyway. Anyone ever have that happen? You've just enabled this button which says rights management. So click here, then say our company only when you send this email. Pretty simple, right? You guys will look like rock stars. You've implemented awesome functionality. And what did you actually have to do? You read the blog.
Exactly. Tell them that it's there.
So your opportunity in the age of cloud.
I know. So if I don't have to patch servers and upgrade and deploy, maybe I can use some of my time to learn PowerShell and turn on the... RMS button, and you know, and be the rock star of my company. You see?
Yeah, cool. Some of those transport rules I never got around to.
Help the business when there's really cool functionality that is coming, you know, on a 90, currently every 90 days we are getting new functionality produced daily by the Office 365 team. Maybe understand what's relevant for my company, for my business units, and let them know that the function is there, and take the credit for it. They don't care if it was Microsoft who built it. Yep. They care, our customers, internal customers care that, hey, they can use it, you know, and actually it's going to make their business better. They can make better decisions faster.
So your next email out to your end users could be, hey, I could see that you didn't have enough mail space. We've just increased your size limit from 5 gigs to 50 gigs. Is that okay?
Yeah.
And the point with this rather smug-looking gentleman is that you guys will get the credit for the stuff, right? And your focus has gone from tinkering with hardware and software that didn't work, not our software, because our software always works, to looking for opportunities of how you can make your business more competitive. how you can make it faster, how you can teach the finance guys how to do a financial automation, although, to be fair, they probably teach you how to do that stuff. I know they do in Microsoft. So you guys are going to get the credit for all this stuff. So the question, the cloud just replaced my job. Great, now what? Is my job cloud-proof? Is it, Raquel?
Sorry?
Is my job cloud-proof?
No.
Will my skills still be relevant?
Yes. Some of them.
Some of them. But I'm going to need to evolve them, right? Like I have when I first started in IT, when you guys first started in IT. None of this is rocket science to anyone. This shouldn't be... No one should be surprised at this point in time, right? You've all been around for a little while. What's likely to change over the next few years? Everything and nothing.
But change is the only constant.
Yep. What's not likely to change? So have a think about where you're moving at the moment. So the on-premises to hybrids to cloud, what's going to stay, what's not going to stay? That's where you need to upgrade your skills as IT professionals and developers. And who will get the credit? The CIO. You guys are going to get the credit for this. So don't be afraid of the future. Embrace it. Will you have your job? Yes, you'll have your job. Will you be able to do more interesting stuff? Hell yeah, you'll be able to do a lot more interesting stuff. Will you lose your job? Nah, probably not. Not unless you're not very good at your job in the first place. So I guess the punchline to this presentation is things change. We all know that. We've all been around the block a few times. Don't be too married to your skill sets of today, because those skill sets may or may not be around in the future. But take a hold of your own careers. I mean, Raquel and me were talking about this the other day. We got a question on whose responsibility is career trajectory? The organisations? No, kind of. Yeah. Or the individual?
Yeah, most organisations have a really good career plan, and it's all there, and you can, you know, drive your own career. But at the end of the day, guys and girls, it's up to you to drive your own career. So change is happening. I want to talk about something that the first time I heard, something died inside me a little bit, and it's sweet. Success without IT. I cringe every time I hear that. Because IT is seen by the business as being sometimes frigid and not moving fast enough. Then they are making their own decision. Hey, I can put an application in the cloud and use software as a service, and that's it, you know, and then IT can manage it. You know, it's up to you to drive your career. It's up to you to understand whatever your role is, what are the skills that you need to learn to have a job, you know, after the cloud, with the cloud. What do you need to do? Who went to James Whittaker's presentation yesterday? Succeeding Purpose. I don't think James Whittaker is good. I think he's freaking awesome. I was just so pumped, thinking, oh yeah, I know that. So I just want to put a challenge for you guys. So, okay, don't let the feast and the buzz of the Tech Ed week to fade away when you go next week. Think about, even if it is in the plane, going back home, because probably tonight you'll be drinking again. Come on, I know. I've seen you around. Yeah, I've seen you around. Think about, what are you going to do next week? What steps are you going to take to make your job relevant in the next 5 and 10 years? What are you going to do to make yourself more awesome?
Thank you very much. So we've got some related content. So these are ones, and if it's Succeeding on Purpose, it's going to be on video. We do also have some really awesome Microsoft resources. And finally, please fill out your evaluations.
No subliminal messages there, but whatsoever. Shame on you.
So thank you very much.
Shame on you.
We've got 1 minute to take a few questions.
Also, after 4:15, we're going to be in the expert zone, if you want to talk to us.
Not that we could count ourselves as experts, but...
Any questions?
Sing it out if you've got any questions. Thank you, guys.